If you ask anyone, what is the purpose of religion? They will probably tell you that it is a means to relate to God. Trying to have a relationship with God and be accepted by God. Being accepted by God and justified before Him is very important. It is exactly the opposite of being condemned by Him. To be justified means to be declared righteous, to be accepted by God, standing in His favor. And this should be a matter of first importance for every human being. But how can a person be justified and accepted by God, the creator of the universe, a holy God? For several hundred years, the church has been emphasizing righteousness by works. The church has preached over and over that the more works a person does, the more rituals, the more ceremonials a person would keep, the more righteous the person is. And people were promised to be justified and be accepted by God on that basis of doing works for Him, keeping rituals for Him. This morning in our text, Paul is going to talk about that. But he is going to say just the opposite. He will say that this is not the way a person is justified or accepted by God. He will say that righteousness is by faith. He will show that only through faith is it possible to be justified before God and be sons of Abraham. So please turn to our text. We are still in the book of Galatians, in chapter 3, verse 6, as we continue where we stopped last week. We know that chapters 3 and 4, they go together. They are divided into six parts. We find six arguments in these two chapters. If you remember last week, trying to prove that salvation is by faith and not by works, Paul started with a personal argument, the first five verses of chapter 3. He asked the Galatians to recall their personal experience with Christ when they were saved. In this section here, verses 6 to 14, Paul will present a scriptural argument, quoting six different Old Testament scriptures to prove that salvation is indeed by faith and not by works, not from the law. And he will use the example of a man named Abraham. The Galatians had turned from the teaching of Paul, salvation by faith, to the teaching of others who came after Paul, promoting a righteousness by works, by keeping the law. So starting here, Paul turned from the subjective to the objective, from the personal experience to the physical evidence of the Word of God. We should never judge the Scriptures by our experiences, but test our experiences by the Word of God. So Paul continues his letters, and he says here in chapter 3, verse 6, just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the nations by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. So since the Judaizers wanted to take the believers back to the law, Paul will quote the law to prove his point. since they magnified that man, Abraham, in their religion, Paul will use Abraham as one of his witnesses. He will prove that Abraham was saved by faith, not by the law. The law did not even exist in Abraham's time. It came 400 years later. So Paul asked them to go centuries back and think about Abraham, their ancestor. How was he justified? Quoting Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, Paul said that he believed God and it was accounted to him as righteousness. That's how he was justified. Abraham's faith in God's ability to perform what he had promised was accepted by God as righteousness. And so the patriarch was justified. Before he was circumcised in Genesis 17:24. How then could the Judaizers insist that circumcision was essential to being accepted by God? This is an interesting point. Those who believe that salvation is by keeping the law and rituals, they have a hard time answering this question. How were those born before the law saved? How were those born between Adam and Moses saved? How were Adam and Eve saved? Good question. Adam and Eve believed the promise of God made to them in the Garden of Eden in Genesis 3:14, that from the woman a deliverer would come to bruise the head of that Satan, the enemy that tricked and deceived her. Their salvation was by faith. They believed what God said, and they lived expecting that deliverer, the Messiah. And they were righteous. They were justified by faith. Abraham, a descendant of Shem, one of Noah's son, is one of those born between Adam and Moses. He was a Gentile from a city called Ur, to whom God gave a promise. The Jews made Abraham the father of their religion. How was he saved then if there was no law given and no ritual of circumcision in existence, if people must keep the law in order to be saved? The book of Genesis gives the answer to this question. Genesis 15, verse 6 says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. This is the first scripture that Paul quoted to prove that salvation is not by the works of the law, but it is by faith in Jesus Christ. So God accepted Abraham because he believed. His belief was accounted to him for righteousness. That's all he had to do. But you may say, Abraham was circumcised. Yes, my dear Watson. But when did God accept Abraham? Before or after he was circumcised? The covenant of circumcision was instituted in Genesis 17, when Abraham was 99 years old. Not a good time to be circumcised, if you ask me. And that's when God changed his name from Abram to Abraham. Maybe the circumcision hurt and he said, Abraham! Just kidding. And yet Abraham was accounted righteous in Genesis 15, not 17, when he believed God. So God accepted Abraham before he was circumcised, before he followed any ritual, before he kept any law. The Judaizers were proclaiming that the believers could not be righteous. They could not be saved unless they were circumcised. And that's wrong. Abraham was made righteous before the circumcision. Later, the church said something very similar. They argued that a person could not be saved unless he was baptized, another ritual. And they were pointing to a ritual as essential for salvation. And that is also wrong. Salvation is by faith. It is not through rituals. We saw a few weeks back that if it would have been possible to be made righteous and possible to be saved through works, through the law, or through rituals, then Christ died for nothing. The moment we believe and trust in Jesus Christ for salvation, at that moment, God accepts us as righteous, just like Abraham, before we keep any law, before we keep any rituals. Now, James took that same passage of Scripture, and he explained in his letter, in James chapter 2, verse 23, that belief is not in words only, but in action. He explained that faith without works is really dead. Our lifestyles should be in harmony with what we say we believe. Belief is not what we say, it is what we do. Many people think that belief is something that is said, something that is proclaimed. I believe in Jesus. No. People can say they believe in God and have nothing to do with him. Abraham did not simply say that he believed God. He tied up his son and he was ready to put the knife to him. His actions were in harmony with his belief and with his words. If we say that we trust Jesus Christ to be saved, then we need to stop trying to earn our salvation through works or rituals. Our actions need to be in harmony with our belief. Abraham was not confirmed righteous because of what he did, but because of what he believed. But what he did was in harmony with what he believed. It proved what he believed. And so belief and action must be in harmony. Anybody can say anything and do the complete opposite. But we saw a few weeks ago that this is hypocrisy, and we are not to do that. The term accounted is a bookkeeping term. It means to credit to someone's account. So because of his faith in God, Abraham was considered righteous before God, therefore acceptable by God's grace. In verse 7 here, Paul made quite a statement regarding the sons of Abraham. The Jews called themselves son of Abraham. In John chapter 8, when they said to Jesus that Abraham was their father, Jesus replied, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham." Which brings another good question. What was the works of Abraham? We are told in Genesis 15, verse 6. And also here in verse 6, he believed God. The Jews did not. One day some Jews asked Jesus, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Good question. So Jesus answered, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." They did not believe in him whom he sent, Jesus. Salvation is by faith, not by works. The only work is simply to believe. And it is too simple for some people. They don't want to just believe. They want to do things. And that's why Paul said here that only those who are of faith are really the sons of Abraham. He was the father of faith, not the father of the Jews. We do not need to be Jewish to be sons of Abraham. Abraham himself was not Jewish. That blows the mind of some of the Jews. He was Chaldean. Today, you would say he was an Iraqi. He came from that region of Iraq. He was not the father of a physical group of people. He was the father of a spiritual race of people. If it was so, then the Edomites, the son of Esau, and all the Arabs, the sons of Ishmael, would also be sons of Abraham, because all of them are really descendants of Abraham. They would also be part of the blessings promised to Abraham, but they are not. The blessing is not simply because they were descendants of Abraham. You have to be of the faith like Abraham. So the blessing from the covenant that God made to Abraham is for those who believe, not those from Abraham's genes. He wore robes. Not genes. So because of our belief, we are children of Abraham. And then Paul quoted a second scripture to prove his point in verse 8. And the scripture quotes God saying to Abraham, "In him all the nations shall be blessed." God in his omniscience knew that the Gentiles would be justified just like the Jews. Not only the Jewish nation, but also the Gentile nations. And this is from Genesis 12, verse 3. Salvation was not an exclusive Jewish experience, as the Jews kept on saying. According to the very words of God, salvation is to all the nations who believe. Many religious groups today claim to be the only ones who will be saved. And they are doing what the Jews did hundreds of years ago. But God said that salvation is to all those who believe. Pretty clear. Verse 9. All those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. So believing like Abraham makes us sons of Abraham. Salvation is for all those who believe and trust in Jesus Christ. It is a salvation by grace. It is by faith. It is not earned. It is not from works. Many religious people have been deceived by their religious leaders in doing tons of work in order to be saved. They get bicycles, they go door to door, and this is totally useless for salvation. We see in verse 9 that the same blessing promised to God, from God to Abraham, is promised also to those who are of faith, those who believe. So the blessing is salvation. Because of their faith, just like Abraham, they are blessed with salvation. That's what the blessing is. The nation of the earth would be blessed. Blessed with what? Blessed with salvation. They don't have to do anything to earn it. So the basis for any blessing is our belief in God. Blessings are not earned either. None of us deserved any blessings from God. But God wants to bless you. He wants to bless his people because he loves them. So stop trying to earn blessings from God through works or trying to be perfect for Him. Many people do all sorts of things in order to be blessed. They don't have to. If we can only get this through our thick skulls, we will be blessed like never before. Like salvation, blessings are by faith and not by works. They are not earned. So Paul goes on and he says it in verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. So here Paul made a good point about those who are of the works of the law. He said that they are under the curse. He just said in verse 9 that those who are of the faith are blessed. So in contrast, those who are of the works are cursed. The third scripture that he quoted to prove that salvation is by faith and not from works is Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 26. The reason why they are cursed is because the scripture had said that in order for the law to be of any value, the law had to be kept in its entirety, completely, totally, without missing any part of it. So to seek to be made righteous through the law, a person had to keep the whole thing without fail. The law is not a religious cafeteria where people can pick and choose what they like or don't like. Oh, I like this one. I don't like that one. I don't want that one. It does not work like this. To fail to continue in all the things written in the law nullified the attempt and brought a curse on the person who failed to keep the whole thing. The law is not a good thing. It made no difference at which point or which law the person had violated. One miss, put him out. That's worse than our three strikes law in California. One out. But wouldn't that be a shame, though, to live all your life by the law? Be very obedient to all of it, all the time. And then one day while jogging, you trip over a cat. You get mad, you swear, you curse, you fall, and you die. Your beautiful record would be messed up by a stupid cat. Sorry, George. All the law can do for us is condemn us and curse us, he says in verse 10. So the way of blessing is the way of faith. And Paul used the fourth scripture in verse 11. And it comes from a book you read all the time, Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 4. The just shall live by faith. And this scripture confirms that no one is justified by the law. Justification is obtained or attained by faith. This is the scripture that set Martin Luther free. No one has ever been justified by the law. No one will ever be justified by the law. It is impossible. It cannot make anyone righteous. Then in verse 12, Paul quoted a fifth scripture, Leviticus 18, verse 5. The man who does them what? Those requirements of the law. Paul reemphasized the point that he made earlier in verse 10, The man who lives by the law is bound by the law to spend the rest of his life to keep all those rules. The man must live by those rules. The law demanded perfection. Who can do that? And a curse came for failure to keep any part of that perfection. After the temple was rebuilt and the law was read, the Levites in Nehemiah chapter 9, they quoted this scripture, Leviticus 18:5, to the people. When the elders came to Ezekiel to inquire of the Lord in Ezekiel chapter 20, he quoted this scripture to them, Leviticus 18:5. Keeping the law is a lifelong commitment. You start it, you must keep it, and you must finish it. And it is not possible. And Paul concluded his argument, and he says in verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So the positive side of Paul's argument emphasized hope for all those who have broken the law, all those who are under the curse. That hope is not in men. It is in Christ Jesus who redeemed us from the curse of the law, verse 13. This is the central message of the gospel of faith. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Then he explains how we have been redeemed from the curse of the law. Christ became a curse for us. How did he become a curse? Well, he was crucified. He was nailed to a tree, and that was a curse. And Paul used Deuteronomy 21, verse 23, as his sixth and last Old Testament scripture to prove his point. He first explained how the curse originated. Being unable to continue in all the things written in the law, here he explained how the curse was removed. Christ took the curse upon himself by hanging on the cross or a tree for us. The scripture, Deuteronomy 21, verse 23, was not referring to crucifixion. It was not a method of death in the Hebrew culture. Stoning with rocks was their method. Crucifixion was something that the Romans invented later on. Under the law, when a guilty person was put to death, he was stoned with rocks. Then they would hang the body on a tree for everyone to see and understand the outcome of violating the law of God. See what happens when you don't keep the law. One man hanging there. The Romans eliminated the step of stone. They hanged the person straight on the cross to die. We are told that Christ took the curse for us for two reasons in verse 14. Number one, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. And this is referring back to verse 8. In Abraham, all the nations shall be blessed, including the Gentiles. And then the second reason, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Here Paul comes back to his question in verse 2. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Paul showed here that the blessing of Abraham comes upon those who believe, not upon those who keep the law. The Holy Spirit is received by the hearing of faith. not by the works of the law. You cannot work and do good stuff in order to receive the Holy Spirit. You cannot buy him. Many people have been deceived and were told that in order to receive the Holy Spirit, a person has to be super holy. And if you are not holy, then forget the Holy Spirit. And that is wrong. Notice that Paul referred to the scripture speaking. He is saying the scripture are speaking as though God were speaking. So it can rightly be stated that what the Bible says, God says. Here we see that the Holy Spirit is received by faith, not by keeping the law, keeping rules or rituals. Salvation is by faith. Receiving the blessings by faith. Receiving the Holy Spirit is by faith. The just shall live by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So all these things come to the sons of Abraham by faith, and his daughters too. So indeed, being accepted by God is very important for every human being. But how can a person be justified or accepted by God, the creator of the universe? Paul is pretty clear here concerning how a person is accepted by God, how he is made righteous. And he mentioned two things. Number one, it is not through religion. It is not through the keeping of the law or keeping some rituals. This cannot make anyone righteous. Number two, it is by faith, simply by believing, not doing things to earn it. So the church has made a serious mistake to emphasize a righteousness by works or keeping rituals rather than by faith. And it has frustrated and discouraged a whole lot of people. And yet it is so simple. If righteousness is by faith, then we are all equally righteous. Not one is more righteous than the other. It's not possible to be more righteous than the other. And this explains the parable of Jesus about the laborers in the vineyard that bugged me for so many years. Those who work from 6 a.m. or 9 a.m. or noon or 3 p.m. or 5 p.m., they all receive the same thing. The guy who had worked for only 1 hour received the same reward. And it bothered me. I did not like it because I did not think it was fair. But I did not understand it. If righteousness is by faith, then we are all equally righteous. We cannot get more righteous than righteous in the eyes of God. This is what Jesus promised to those who would believe in him. And that's what is necessary to enter the kingdom of God. So whether a person comes to Jesus by faith at 9 years of age, 16 years, 34 years, or 82 years of age, the outcome is the same. Righteousness by faith and entrance in the kingdom. The person is as righteous as someone else who has walked with God for 50 years. The only difference is the longer a person walks with Jesus, the more rewards he will accumulate. But he won't be more righteous. It is not possible to add to the righteousness that Jesus has provided. So doing all kinds of work for God will not make a person more righteous. It may bring more rewards in heaven, but it will certainly not make him more righteous. Because righteousness is by faith. It is not by works. So knowing this will help us to stop all comparison and competition, trying to be more righteous than those around us. It is not possible. Righteousness is by faith. And this is how it works. This is how we are justified before God. This is how we are made sons of Abraham. Only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. It is very easy to be saved. It is not through works. It is not through keeping certain rituals. It is by faith. I know it is easy to say, I believe, but it is not easy to fool God. You can say it and not mean it and think that you are saved and not be saved. If you say you believe in Jesus Christ, the proof of the pudding will be your life. Your action will match your words. People will see a difference in you. And that is the proof of the pudding. It is easy to say, I believe, but you have to show it. But don't try to earn it or do things for it. Don't try to be more righteous than the righteousness that Jesus Christ has given you by dying for you. It is not possible. So may the Lord be with you. May the Lord bless each and every one of you. May He bless your week, bless your family, and may He help you to realize that your salvation is by faith alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.